our speaker and his subject. W.J. Edwards was born in Anderson, South Carolina. He attended Lander College for 2 years, but was not able to complete his college work. He studied with us and was awarded the Certificate of Theology by this seminary in the spring of 1958. He served as a pastor of Baptist churches for 11 years, and for the last 3.5 years has served as missionary in the Flat River Baptist Association, living in Oxford. On December the 31st, 1963, slightly more than 2 years ago, Mr. Edwards was told by his physician, after a very thorough examination, that he is the victim of an incurable disease, and that he would walk with sticks, then be confined to a rolling chair, and then to bed. He's going to tell us this morning what it is like to confront the late afternoon of life in this manner. We're going to stand now and sing together hymn number 103, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Our guest has requested that we read together the 23rd Psalm, which is selection number 15 in our hymnal. We will read responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. May we pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we come today conscious of our sins and our limitations, but putting our trust in Thee and confident of the future because of our faith and because of our dependence upon Thee. Forgive our sins and help us to have the wisdom and the strength to rise to levels of achievement in keeping with Thy purpose for each one of us. It is our prayer at this time that as we hear from a dedicated person who has made his life count in a magnificent way, especially in the last 3 years as a friend of the student ministers in this seminary, as we listen to his message today, we pray that our minds may be clear and our hearts open, and that we may be able to confront anew the purpose for which we are living, each one of us. Give us a true sense of dedication and purpose that will help us to be always at our best. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Hendricks. It is a real privilege to me to come this morning to share with you my personal testimony. I have been amazed at the way that God has used it. And this has been my prayer and the dedication of my life. The story which I share with you this morning is not the story just of an operation. It is not shared with you with any feeling of that I would make of a uniqueness of an experience with God. But each time I tell this story, it is an act of confession on my part of my failure to God. It is a desperate plea for His forgiveness in my life, and a very weak attempt on my part to glorify Him for His act on my behalf. As Dr. Hendricks has stated, my story began in December 1963. I had entered Baptist Hospital at Winston-Salem for a study of the neurological problem which has been developing in my right side for, well, since 1952. And I had been told flatly that there was no therapy for this condition. It is because I am now a 22-year diabetic. They gave it a name, diabetes neuropathy. And with the prognosis which Dr. Hendricks stated to you, that I would go from cane to crutch to wheelchair, finally to bed. Then the thing that is involved in this experience, they found another condition, which is diabetic. I had already lost the sight in my left eye due to hemorrhage. The medical doctor said that your right eye is ready to hemorrhage at this time. And should this eye hemorrhage, you know that you will be blind. This, to be blind, to be in a wheelchair, created a real problem to me. Then he stated there is an operation that is possible which we can do for you. We can't promise you a thing. We can make intracranial surgery and destroy the function of the pituitary gland, thus denying your body of the hormones and replacing these hormones, all but one. And the danger to this right eye should go away. He said, we can't promise you a thing. We can't promise you that your eye will not hemorrhage anyway. In fact, we cannot even promise you life. Because due to the tremendous physical stress in undergoing this surgery, you may not survive the first 5 days following surgery. But it is the only thing that we have to offer you. My choice was not one to that I had rather be dead than to be blind, but to be one of service to God as long as I could possibly be used. And frankly, the danger involved, the decision necessary to be made on my part, became just incidental to what actually happened in my heart and in my life that night, December 31st, 1963. The decision had to be made. I had been told by the team of medical doctors that I was physically able to undergo such surgery, and they would recommend it and recommend it immediately. And in my mind's eye, as I thought that night about the things that were happening to me, I stood before or at the edge of the valley before eternity. And I must say to you that the shadows in that valley are deep and dark, and that I could not penetrate that darkness. My wife, home, and friends were 112 miles away. My only son was in California, 3,000 miles away. My only brother away on a business trip and could not be reached. And at the same moment, it seemed as if Satan stood right beside me and said, "Now, where is the God whom you have served, for whom and about whom you have preached for these years? In your hour of need, he has left you completely alone." And truly, in that moment, I thought that I stood in the darkness alone. We have visited in the endless caverns. Possibly you have visited in one of the caverns in the time when they carried you in the very deepest spot that they carried visitors and said to you, when they turned out the lights, you were in complete darkness, and this is black. We experienced this. But as dark as this experience was, cannot be compared to what happened in my heart that night. As I thought of these things, to what was actually happening to me, thought about the decision that I was going to have to make, there entered into my heart some things that I cannot understand, I cannot explain to you at all, because they are not a part of my nature whatsoever. But in that moment, and I hope that it was only a moment, there entered into my heart such bitterness as I cannot possibly describe to you. Bitterness against God. Bitterness that this should happen to me at 45 years of age. With the inevitable question as to why that it had to happen to me. Why was I picked out of all these to have this thing happen to me? And not only this bitterness, but there entered into my heart fear. Fear of death. Fear of eternity. If you had asked me just that day if such a thing could have happened to me, I would have told you no. In fact, I might have grown just a little bit angry with you for asking such a question. But it happened. I cannot describe it. But it called upon me to take a close look at my own heart and my own life, and I'm glad that I was able to bring myself to this place, to take an honest, hard look at myself. I asked myself several questions concerning the life that I had lived. And included in this was the stewardship of the gospel. Had I been faithful to this call of God? I did not like the answers that came up to these questions. I would like to have gone back and changed some things in my life. I would like to amend certain things that I had done wrong. I would like to do so today, but it is absolutely impossible to do it. I realized it. And in this moment of truth, I could only hope for God's forgiveness. and for the forgiveness of those whom I have wronged in this life. And in this moment of truth with God, my soul was stripped bare before God, and I knew guilt and shame in its very deepest meaning. In that hour, I shed bitter tears of repentance and confession to God of my own guilt. I made an anguished plea for God's forgiveness, and with this plea, I made a complete and unreserved commitment to God for all of life. And I'll say to you, my friends, and I urge you to pass it on to others and to look into your own heart and life. It was a time that it was not possible for me to make any bargains with God at all. I made no attempted bargain. I did not say, Lord, if you will do this, then I will do that. But in my commitment to God, it was complete without reservation. My life was His. If I had one day, if I had one hour, if He gave me 100 years, my life belongs to God, and was so committed to Him in this moment of truth. I said that I was in the darkness. I thought that I stood there alone, and this terrible experience in my heart. But in that moment, and only until that time, when I completely surrendered my heart and my life to God, suddenly, just as the darkness had engulfed me, suddenly I knew the presence of Jesus Christ. Oh, it was nothing spectacular. I had no particular vision of Him that I could recognize. I was just aware of His presence. He did not appear to me as He did to Jacob at Peniel, nor as Isaiah has recorded his vision of God in the 6th chapter, nor as He appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. But one thing I can say to you, I did not have to say to Him, Who art thou, Lord? I knew His presence, and I would say and add this morning to those who believe the new theology that God is dead. When they go and stand where I have stood, and when you come to this place, you too will know that God is not dead, but He is very much alive. When God came to me in this manner, I realized that He was there in His strength and His presence, that I still had a decision to make about this surgery. And in that moment, I decided that I would go with God, that I would go with the doctors and with God, that I would risk my life to be able to serve Him for as many years or days as He would give me. Then I knew what the psalmist meant in the 23rd Psalm. When he said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Then I knew what it meant when he said, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I also knew what he meant when he said, He restoreth my soul, because in that moment my soul had been restored. And as I made my commitment to God, and as I was so aware of His presence, the fear, the bitterness that I had known in my heart left. From that moment to this, I have had no fear of what tomorrow may hold. I may be afraid tomorrow because I'm human. But right now I know no fear of tomorrow. And in that moment of peace, I drifted off to sleep to be awakened by the hospital routine in the morning when they stood beside my bed to find out my decision concerning the operation. And when I gave them my decision, things began to move fast, and surgery was scheduled for the next morning at 7 o'clock. My wife arrived from home. I didn't know what I was going to say to her. I didn't know what I could say to her. I had already talked with her on the phone about it and told her the situation. She had her conversation with the doctors, but as she came back into the room and I looked into her eyes, I knew that no words were necessary because we shared the same common faith in God, that God would see us through in this thing. I entered into that surgery, and I do not remember anything about these 5 days. They're shadows. I remember my pastor and friends coming in and out, the hospital personnel. I remember my wife seated beside my bed 3 days and 2 nights, I later found out. But these things I was all unaware of, just shadows. But when I came to myself, the same God who walked with me into the valley of the shadow of death stood with me and was real to me and is real to me this morning as I speak to you. Many questions have been asked me. I must hurry to tell you this because I only have 5 minutes. Many questions have been asked me. One, how do you feel about it all today? Well, I must hurry to say, and to add to what Dr. Hendricks said in the beginning, I have my heart full of gratitude just for life. The fact that I'm alive, because you see, less than a month after the operation, they said to me, we do not expect you to survive the first 12 months. There'll be a physical failure. It will take your life. It'll be fast and fatal. Today, I have 25 months and 21 days against that pledge or that prognosis. So I'm grateful for life. I no longer take life for granted. But each new day is greeted as a new gift from God with a prayer in my heart that that day will count for God for however many days I may have. I call these my days of extended grace that God has given me, not borrowed time, but extended grace that God has given to me. I'm grateful for my wife, for my life's companion who has proven herself to be worth far more than all the wealth that this world could accumulate in these 25 months. I'm grateful for her deeply, because in these months we have stood at the edge of despair together with God, and we have watched the light come and have shared in the victory that God has given us. I'm grateful for my many friends, for the medical profession through whose knowledge and skill and dedication of purpose that God has performed a modern miracle in my life. I'm grateful for my friends, for the task that God has given me and the strength to do that work even now. I'm grateful for these. Then what about the future? What is there for you to hope for if the doctor says that you're going to go from these crutches to a wheelchair and eventually to bed? What is your future? I don't know. I don't know. But whatever days that God will give me, I'm going to take. And every one of these days belong to God. And I have a prayer in my heart that that day will count for Him. This prayer comes every morning as I greet a new day. The medical prognosis is the same. They still expect a kidney failure. But my future is in God's hand. I have a determination not to be disabled, and the doctors have finally agreed, though you get your wheelchair, though you have to change your job, possibly, you're not going to be disabled. You'll find something to do. This is my determination. But I think that I can say with Paul, and using my own words, if you please, here, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's going to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There is a poem I would like to read, and if you would bear with me and let me run you over a minute. It's in your hymnal, Baptist Hymnal number 52, that says what I feel about the future. O love of God most full, O love of God most free, come warm my heart, come fill my soul, come lead me unto thee. Warm as the glowing sun, so shines thy love on me. It wraps me round with kindly care. It draws me unto thee. The wildest sea is calm. The tempest brings no fear. The darkest night is full of light, because thy love is near. O love of God most full, O love of God most free, thou warmest my heart, thou fillest my soul with might, thou strengthenest me. This is the way I feel about today and about tomorrow. And Dr. J.B. Phillips, in his book, New Testament Christianity, has further stated it, and I'm not quoting him verbatim. But he said that our need for today, and my preacher brother, it is your need today, to find that God is at work, to know that God is at work in whatever circumstance you may find yourself in this life, for you, as I know that he is at work today for me. And I move, I live with this hope of today and the future. And I would say to you, humbly and simply this morning, God can be and will be just as real to you as he has to me, and it will cost you the same thing it cost me. Your complete and unreserved commitment for all of life, and when you make this commitment, you will find out that this commitment is made on God's terms and not on yours. Please hear one who knows what it means to stand in the very presence of God and to know that God indeed is real, and that you and I will deal with God in eternity. My prayer for you this morning is that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Would you stand with me? Speak to each of our hearts this morning, our Father, that we, in our own way, according to our need, may be submissive to thee in all of life and eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.